we live in a society of sound bites. You know what a sound bite is. It's like a little audio clip. Sometimes it's got video with it as well of what someone says. Like Kamala Harris, she's enamored with saying quite often, "I grew up in a middle class family raised by my working mother." She says that quite often. Trump says, you know, "Hey, I want to make America great again," and "drill, baby, drill." You know, if I get so people take those sound bites and either use them sometimes in a positive way, sometimes in a negative way. We're a society of sound bites. So I thought today that we would think about sound bites in the Bible. Sound bites. And these are sound bites. If I was wanting to be cute with my title, I'd call it Sound Bites of Surrender. But I don't have little fun little titles on my sermon, so I called it something else. But Sound Bites of Surrender would be a pretty good title from characters in the Bible. We're going to look at four different characters that when the Lord or his representative in the form of an angel, in their sound bite, in their words back to the Lord, basically says, "I will do whatever you want me to do, Lord." So sound bites of surrender. We're going to look at four people. And title of the message, if you want to jot this down, Telling God Yes. Telling God Yes. What full surrender sounds like. What full surrender sounds like. Now, some of these stories, they're pretty common stories. I couldn't come up with any others that specifically verbally said back to the Lord when asked to do something. Now, their lives went about and did it, but these four in particular used their mouths, put forth a soundbite of surrender to the Lord and says, "Why, yes, I will do what you ask me to do." If you find others, let me know. I could have overlooked them, but these are pretty major characters. Telling God yes, what full surrender sounds like. Now, quite obviously, the challenge today is going to be for each of us to tell the Lord yes. Yes, I will do whatever you want me to do, Lord. I will surrender to whatever you want me to do. Now, sometimes among Christians, you're like, "Wow, preacher, don't you think all Christians are surrendered to God's will?" I will say quite honestly and quickly and very truthfully, no. I mean, what normally happens is we get saved and we're on fire for a while. Now, I know it doesn't describe everybody here because some of you are fully surrendered to the Lord, I'm sure. But what normally happens, we get saved and we're on fire and we're surrendered for the first, I don't know, maybe first month, maybe first year, maybe first few years. And then the old devil starts whispering in our ear, and we hear the world in the other ear, and we're like, do I really need to do what God wants me to do? I think every one of us need to know what God wants us to do, but more importantly, we need to do it. Hopefully today as we look at these folks, and I'll hit it pretty quick. I mean, each one of these characters, this could be a message, and I may back up at some point and preach a message on that. I'm sure I have different times on these characters and what happens. So I'm holding that possibility, Bobby, that I might back up and preach these again, just so you'll know, okay? All right, here we go. Character number one, and point number one, full surrender does not set conditions. Full surrender does not set conditions. Acts chapter 9 and verse 6. Acts chapter 9 and verse 6. We're going to read that in a moment, but I'm going to set the context just so you'll know, okay? We're talking about people in the Bible. I found four of them that specifically when confronted by God or his representative used their mouth, put forth a positive soundbite that they followed through with. Now, Saul, in this passage of Scripture that we're going to look at, he was on the road to Damascus in order to persecute and even kill Christians. Now, his name's Saul at this point. I might call him Paul, I might call him Saul, who knows. But his name is Saul at this point, okay? He's on his way to Damascus to get people like us to throw us in prison or kill us. But remember, remember what happened, right? He gets struck down on the road to Damascus, remember? And he heard a voice and a bright light, and he's actually blind for like 3 days. There's scales over his eyes, and remember from that point on. But in that story, I want you to notice what it says. I'm going to read verse 5. It's not going to show up on the monitor, but verse 6 is. I'm going to read verse 5. It says, and he said, this is Paul or Saul at this point, "Who art thou, Lord?" he says in verse 5. Now, at that point, he's starting to get it and understand. And there's a point of salvation here where he says, okay, I know who you are, and I accept you. There's a point of salvation there. And the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." It's hard to go against me, isn't it? I'm sure Paul had been under conviction. I really believe he'd been under conviction before this. But boom. Here's verse 6. Listen to his soundbite. "And he trembling," that's Paul, "and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." Do you realize what he's doing here? He had that point of salvation when he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And now in verse 6, he has the point of surrender. Sometimes in the life of a Christian, that happens at the same time. The point of salvation is also the point of surrender. Now, I realize we're surrendering our sins. We're surrendering that He is our Savior. I get that. That's salvation. But sometimes it takes a while for our practical living to catch up with our salvation. And it takes a while for us to raise that white flag of surrender in our life. But here Saul at this point says, guess what? Lord, what do you want me to do? And by saying that, he's saying, whatever it is, I'll do it. Y'all out there? Is anybody out there today? Are you sure? I appreciate Amy's amens, but I should be hearing more than just Amy's amens. I pay her for her amens. The rest of you should be shouting out. You see, when he said, "What wilt thou have me to do?" He's basically saying, I'm not going to put any conditions on it, Lord. Did you know what happens practically to you and I in our lives as Christians? We'll do certain things for the Lord within reason. But don't ask me to do anything unreasonable according to this brain. Right? And then sometimes it's like, okay, Lord, I will serve you, but don't call me to be a missionary. I hate spiders and snakes. So don't call me to mission field, or don't call me to be a preacher, or don't call me to do that. Don't talk to people about Jesus because it scares me to death. We want to put conditions on God. Full surrender according to what Paul says right here. Lord, what do you want me to do? Don't you think God has got the power and the ability to call you and then to provide for you and to accompany you and to help you do whatever He calls you to do? I mean, sometimes we have this huge view of ourselves that the world is going to fail if I fail. You're in God's hands. You're not that important to this world. God is. And He'll be the one to empower you. I love it when he says, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And there was a willingness in that to do whatever God wanted him to do. You say, well, that's the Apostle Paul. Well, we got the same Christianity he got. We got the same God he's got. Don't you think you and I ought to, before the Lord, say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And not set conditions on it? We may not even set conditions verbally, but we know in our heart and our mind what we'll do and what we'll not do. I'm thankful that God calls us to do some things, and He's called people throughout the ages of Christianity to do some things that completely scared them. But they did it anyway. I don't know, how do you think it worked out for Paul in the long run? You know, he gave this soundbite of surrender. He said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Did he follow through with it? I think he did. It worked out pretty well in the long run, don't you think? Now, he visited a lot of prisons along the way. But do you think that mattered when he stood before his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? He said in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Would that have been the case if he said, Lord, tell me what you want me to do and I'll decide whether I'll really do it or not? I'm pretty sure that Paul heard something to the effect when he stood, when he got to see Jesus. I'm pretty sure, and at the judgment seat of Christ, when that happens, I'm sure he'll hear an affirmation. Wouldn't you agree with that? It started with surrender. Full surrender does not set conditions. Number two, full surrender means viewing ourselves as servants. Full surrender, point number two of this message, telling God yes, what full surrender sounds like. Number one, full surrender does not set conditions. Number two, full surrender means viewing ourselves as servants. Now, you're going to recognize this character in the Bible. Luke chapter 1 and verse 38. Luke chapter 1 and verse 38. This character is Mary. Y'all heard her? Yeah, there's a lot of Marys in the Bible. We're talking about Mary, the mother of Jesus. Luke chapter 1 and verse 38. Now let me set the context for this again. We're just going to look at that one verse here in a moment. But remember, Mary was espoused to Joseph. Y'all remember that? Engaged, but more binding than what an engagement today. An engagement today, you can break it off. But they were espoused. And there's like 1 year from what I understand that they're espoused. They're committed to each other. But they don't consummate the marriage. They don't come and live together in the same dwelling until 1 year has expired. So they're in that time frame. The angel Gabriel was sent to tell Mary that she was going to bear the Christ child. Mary asked the angel the question in verse 34 of this passage. How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Verse 35, the angel responds, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And then in verse 37, it says, the angel says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Isn't that good to know? Let me say that again. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Isn't that a good thing to know? I am sick and tired of putting God in a little tiny box and saying, God, you can't do this, you can't do that. Based upon what? Based upon your thoughts? Come on. I serve a God that's bigger than that. Listen to her soundbite of surrender. She says in Luke chapter 1 and verse 38, it says, and Mary said, behold the handmaid. You know what the handmaid? The lowest servant of the Lord, of a person that is. The lowest servant around. She says to the angel, God's representative, behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Sounds like to me, part of surrender ought to be us looking to God and saying, God, I am your servant. I am your low servant. I will do. You know, the problem is with God in our lives, we won't give up the throne of our life. And guess who's sitting there? Fat and sassy normally in Christianity today in America. It's you and me. We're sitting on the throne and we're not letting God. We need to move over. We need to get out of the way and say, Lord, here I am your servant. I'll do whatever you want me to do. How'd that turn out for Mary? I think it turned out pretty good for her, don't you think? She faithfully did what God wanted her to do. The mother of Jesus on this earth. Boy, that's pretty, she's pretty much, pretty revered, don't you think? Now, I know some revere her too highly. She was still a sinner saved by grace. She still had to accept what Jesus did for her on the cross, her son did for her on the cross. Absolutely. But it worked out pretty good, and I'm sure she was commended by the Lord and will be at the judgment seat of Christ. How about you? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Don't you figure? Telling God yes, what full surrender sounds like. Number one, full surrender does not set conditions. Number two, full surrender means viewing ourselves as servants. Number three, and there's four, so I'm rolling along rapidly. Number three, full surrender means that I turn off human reason and logic. Full surrender means I turn off human reason and logic. And we're going to look at Peter today. Luke chapter 5 and verse 5. Luke chapter 5 and verse 5. Now listen to this. Listen to this. This is big. This is huge. This is humongous. Luke chapter 5 and verse 5. Let me set the context, okay? Sea of Galilee. Jesus has been teaching from one of the ships. There's two ships there. There's Peter and Andrew and James and John. There's two ships there. They belong to those couples, those two brothers, okay, each. Jesus, big crowd gathers. He gets into one of the ships, casts out a bit, and teaches the people. And it says in verse 4, when Jesus finished teaching, he said to Peter in verse 4, quote, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a... And I'm not sure how to say that word. Bill, how do you say that word? D-R-A-U-G-H-T. I couldn't get an answer, a good answer from Google. Is that drought or draught? Or draft? Draft. Okay, well, if he's not sure, I don't feel too bad about not being sure either. Draft. Okay, bunch of fish, a multitude of fish. Now you say, well, where do you get this human logic thing? Now, this was in the daytime. Do you know a fisherman? Peter was a professional fisherman. So he knows a thing or two about fish. In the Sea of Galilee, from what I understand, in the daytime, you fish in the shallow. In the nighttime, you fish in the deep. It's daytime. Jesus is saying, cast out into the deep. And besides that, he says before he does it, he says, Master, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing. In other words, the fish are not biting. Secondly, it's against human logic and reason, and I'm an expert fisherman. Now, I guarantee you I'm not an expert fisherman. But I'm saying, I mean, think about it. This is his area of expertise. And he's saying, that doesn't make sense. That's basically what he's saying to God. That does not make sense, God. But Jesus, Son of God, God himself, he says, oh, cast out your net into the deep. Lo and behold, what happens? They catch so much fish, so many fish, that is. Their boat starts to sink, and they have to get the other boat to come over so they can get them to shore. So we see this soundbite of surrender. He says in that verse, he says, I don't want to miss it. He says, and Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. Wow. He says,
my professional opinion, Lord, fish aren't biting. We do not cast into the deep in the daytime. Therefore, we should not do it.
That's his professional opinion. But I'm glad for that word, nevertheless. You see, you and I need to get to the point of nevertheless. Lord, whatever it is. Now, my human brain is saying, no, that's not logical. That's not reasonable. But nevertheless, I'm going to do what you want me to do. How'd that work out? Bunch of fish. How'd it work out for Peter? Well, he's a pretty good disciple, don't you think? I figure he was commended by the Lord and he'll be commended at the judgment seat of Christ. I wouldn't be surprised if he hears, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Part of the reason was because of this soundbite of surrender. He says, I'll do it. I'll do it. Bill mentioned Ron Comfort. Ron Comfort is the founder of the school where the boys are. I recently heard him preach a message, and he made the statement. He said in the chapter, the Hall of Faith chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, he said, everybody in the Hall of Faith did not listen to human reason and logic and common sense. Common sense is the word he mainly used. They didn't use their common sense. If Abraham had used his common sense, he wouldn't have got in that U-Haul moving his family to a place he didn't even know where he was going. If Noah had used his common sense, he'd say, no one even knows what rain is, and there sure isn't any water near where I am. My common sense says, why build a boat? So I'm not going to build a boat. I'm thankful that Noah said, I'm not going to use my common sense. You look at the Hall of Faith. You look at the people that stood out to God to put in his book in that chapter. They did not listen to their common sense. They listened to God. If you want to live a life of surrender, guess what? We need to throw human logic and reason out the door. Seriously. Common sense out the door, or you'll accomplish about that much for Jesus. I'm serious. I think it worked out pretty good for Peter, don't you think? He felt, if you read on in the chapter, Simon Peter falls down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. He's like, whoa, I'm a sinner compared to how great you are. It says, for he was astonished. And all that were with him at the draught of fish which they had taken. Wow. You see, telling God yes, what God asks of us, what full surrender actually sounds like. Full surrender does not set conditions. Number two, full surrender means viewing ourselves as servants. Number three, full surrender means that I turn off human reason and logic and common sense. Number four, almost finished. Full surrender involves volunteering. Full surrender involves volunteering. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. Again, every one of these stories deserve a whole sermon. But I just wanted to hit them in this area of people that verbally said to the Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Full surrender involves volunteering. In verse 1 of Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah sees, it says, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. So Isaiah gets a vision of the Lord on his throne. In verses 2 to 8, we got seraphims. They got six wings. With two of them, they cover their face. With two of them, they cover their feet. And with two of them, they fly. And they're flying around, and you know what they're doing? They're praising God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. It says there's so much praise and worship going on. The posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And do you know what Isaiah's response to the glory of God was? Woe is me. Man, if we just had one nanosecond of seeing the glory of God like Isaiah did in this vision. Now someday we'll see the glory of God. We'll be in his presence. Praise the Lord. But right now as human beings, if we would see the glory of God, I really think, again, it's a whole sermon in itself, but our first response would be, woe is me. That was Peter's response when he saw the fish. Against human logic, he fell down and I'm a sinful man. Isaiah says, woe is me. But then there's a question. He says, woe is me. And then a seraphim takes a live coal, puts it on Isaiah's lips. And then in verse 8, notice what it says. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Who's us? Probably God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, Trinity. Then said I. Now here's the volunteering part. Here's the verbal affirmation. Here is the soundbite of surrender. He says, here I am I. Send me. Do you know what a lot of people would say? There they are. Send them. I've said for years, the Lord loves a volunteer. The Lord loves a volunteer. How'd that work out for Isaiah? Was he a faithful prophet? Yeah. His book is one of the major prophet books. Now, I know that's the length of the book, but hey, he's major. He did a good job, don't you think? Full surrender involves volunteering. Today, you know this message, it doesn't do anybody any good but you. You know what I mean? We're not here for someone else to hear the message. We're here for us to hear the message. I mean, even in a couple, it's kind of like, well, we can surrender as a couple, praise the Lord, but the word goes forth to individuals. Really. And we have a decision to make. Y'all agree with that? Today we've been looking at these sound bites. We live in a society of sound bites. Well, the Bible has sound bites. Four different people. Sound bites of surrender. We looked at 4 points under each one of those. Full surrender does not set conditions. Lord, I'll do some of what you want, but we're not supposed to set conditions. We're supposed to be like, guess what? Here I am, Lord. Whatever. Second point we looked at, full surrender means viewing ourselves as servants. Viewing ourselves as servants. Mary viewed herself as a servant of God. We're not the big shots. We're the little shots. We're the servants. We look up to a big God, and he ought to be calling the shots as we view ourselves as servants. Number three, in the way of review, full surrender means that I turn off human reason, logic, and common sense because God is a big God and he can handle it. If God tells you to do something, if God tells Peter to do something, he did it. Hopefully the same can be said of us. Lastly, full surrender involves volunteering. Isaiah got a glimpse of who God was and he said, here am I. Send me. Now, in the message today, sound bites of surrender, telling God yes, what full surrender sounds like. I have a real specific invitation today. I'm thankful for this time we call invitation. I'm thankful that we take time for invitation. I'm thankful that God gives us an opportunity to respond. I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to do something. You say, well, what you're going to ask me to do, I've already done. I'm going to ask you to do it again. Or you may say, I've never done that. I'm going to have Amy, if you wouldn't mind going to the piano, please. And I'll tell you when to start playing. But here in just a moment, I'm going to ask you, verbally to God in prayer, here at this altar, would you be willing to fully surrender to the Lord today? Now, I'm not saying be saved. I'm talking to Christians right at this present moment. You know, Christians usually get saved and then surrender follows. They still haven't raised that white flag. What I'm asking you to do, you say, I've done that before. Well, it won't hurt you to do it again. There's been a bunch of times in my life I've surrendered and said, Lord, on my knees, Lord, here I am. Whatever you want me to do. And that's my heart's cry and desire even now. Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. We're talking about sound bites of surrender. Are you willing to put forth that sound bite as a Christian today here at the altar and say, Lord, I surrender. Lord, I surrender. I'll do whatever you want me to do, Lord. The
four characters we looked at today, every one of them, the essence of what they said back to the Lord or his representative was, here I am. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Can you think of a better sound bite coming from a child of God? Can you think of a better sound bite in the ears of God than to hear his child say, I'll do whatever